Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from two passages in the New Testament. First, out of the Gospel of Luke, and then out of the Gospel of John. First, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. The younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. You may recognize that as the beginning, near the beginning of the story of the prodigal son. Then it continues in verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And then out of the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Well, here we are in November, and it's hard to believe we're coming to the end of another year. A year filled with blessings and exciting moments, yet also a year of difficulties and disappointments and unfulfilled promises and losses, times where we face moments where we didn't feel like we could take another step, empty of the courage we needed to move forward in life, doubting things that we did, doubting things we didn't do. But also times in the midst of all of that where we know and sensed and felt and looked back and saw that God lifted us and brought others alongside to encourage us and point the way to a better day. Hey, we're still trying, Lord. Thank you for being there. We've been reminded also the past few weeks that God is always actively at work, calling us to be all he created us to be, doing new things in our lives and wiping clean the slate of our mistakes, guilt, the habits we need to change, while healing and restoring us to wholeness, moving us to look with optimism and hope to memorable moments that God will bring and always brings into our lives. Now, a few years ago in February of 2018, I was watching the memorial service for the Reverend Billy Graham, where all his children spoke. His youngest daughter, Ruth, shared about a time in her life where she felt like she couldn't take another step. She didn't know what to do, and she felt all alone. She'd made a number of bad decisions in her life against the advice of her mother and her father and her siblings, and also her children of her first marriage, which ended in divorce after 21 years. She admitted that she was at that point because she had been stubborn, willful, and sinful, like that young prodigal son that we read about just a second ago in the scripture. So there she was, now with a second divorce, which occurred just a few weeks after a second marriage, a marriage which everyone in her family had advised her against going into. She felt all alone, not knowing where to turn or what to do. She wanted to talk to her mother and father, but what would they say? She was terrified to face them, but needed them now more than ever. Maybe it would be all right. She felt like a failure. Maybe they wouldn't even want to speak to her or even see her at all. She couldn't blame them if that was the case. She had embarrassed them many times, she felt, with all the wrong choices she had made and now this latest mess. She felt unworthy and that she didn't deserve their love or understanding. Yet, despite all of those thoughts and feelings, she was moved to begin the long drive home. The family home where her parents lived was on the side of a mountain in Montreat, North Carolina. And as she wound her way up the mountain, she said that her mind still whirled with thoughts of guilt and shame, wondering what would happen when she got there. Would they reject her? Would they even be home? As she nervously rounded the last bend leading to the beginning of her parents' driveway, she could make out her daddy, the Reverend Graham, standing outside the front door of their home, waiting for her. As Ruth got out of the car, walking very slowly forward with trembling legs, heart pounding inside her chest, she watched as her daddy began walking toward her. And then she rejoiced as he wrapped his arms around her and said, "Welcome home." There was no shame, no blame, no criticism or condemnation, just love, unconditional love. John 3:17, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." My friends, look, we've all been where Ruth Graham had been. Every one of us, at some point or another in our lives, have been there. And although I hope not, we may find ourselves there in the future. Or maybe we know someone who is there now, making one mistake after another, and then standing there all alone, lost, without hope, not knowing which way to turn or which direction to go. Disappointments will hit us, stopping us and our dreams dead in their tracks. For some of us, our careers will get off course. An illness hits close to home. Finances get tight, and we wonder if in retirement our living will outlast our finances. Fear robs us of the courage to do what is right. Despair and hopelessness reign, and we can't bear to face what may be next. So we stop. We do nothing while life continues to pile up around and over us. There's a lot going on in and all around our lives. Too many opinions and voices of worldly influence trying to have their way in our lives. Too much debris and rubble to get around. Too much to wrap our arms around, let alone to try and make sense of or try to change or control. And then it hits us that we can't control it all anyway. Or more accurately, we can't control any of it. That's what Ruth Graham realized. That's the point in her life where she found herself at a total loss as to what to do next. In the midst of all that keeps swirling around us, the heartaches, the disappointments and failures, we realize how little control we seem to have at times. We lose our focus as hope fades and we forget where to turn for guidance, for that next step. We need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. So where then is that next step? Where then do we turn? Where then do we go? To the same place Ruth Graham was pointing us in her remarks at the funeral service that day. The same place her daddy, Reverend Graham, pointed this great nation in his remarks at the National Day of Prayer and Remembrance on Friday, September 14, 2001, just 3 days after the cowardly attacks of 9/11. God sent Billy Graham that day to wrap his arms around a hurting nation, reminding us all where to turn when he said, "Underneath the debris is a foundation that was not destroyed." And I believe that we are in the process of starting to rebuild the foundation. That foundation is our trust in God. So where do we look on mornings and days when the sun doesn't seem to be shining? Maybe today or the last few days has been like that for you, as I know it has been for some of you. But we all know that we will have those days. So where do we look? Where do we turn? Who do we trust when those moments and days hit us? Where do we turn when there seems to be nowhere to turn and we don't know the next step or can't find the courage to do what we know is right and also right before us? Reverend Graham made it very clear in his remarks, in the midst of all the debris and rubble in our lives and nation, the confusion and uncertainty, through those moments of despair and hopelessness and the things all around us that we can't seem to control, he pointed us to the foundation. He pointed us to God. And that's the reminder for you and for me today. No matter what, look to the foundation of all the world. It's there we will always find stability and clarity, truth, direction and comfort, love and peace and hope. We may run from it, but we do that to our detriment. But God will be there, waiting for us to return to Him, or maybe for some of us to turn for the first time to Him. And when we do, here's what we will discover. Just like God never left us, God will never let us down. Then it's for us at that moment to follow Him every day, to walk in His way for our life, to become all He created us to be, as we are there, home in His arms. Ruth Graham finished her story about coming home that day with this, when she said, "My father was not God, but that day he showed me what God was like. When we come to God," she said, "with our sin, our brokenness and our failures, our pain and our hurt, God always says, 'Welcome home.'" She's right. No matter what you or I have been through, my friends, she's right. No matter where we've been, the invitation is always there. God stands waiting for us. Actually, though, like Reverend Graham in her story, and like that father and the prodigal son, God not only is waiting, but He's coming toward us with His arms outstretched, ready to hold us in His arms and welcome you and me home. He always does, and He always will. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you. Wow. Thank you. In the midst of those moments, we've been there and we're probably going to be there in the future. We don't know where to turn. We don't know what to do. We don't know the next step. We don't know where to go. We made a mess. We're having trouble climbing out of the rubble that's piled deep on us. But Lord, help us to keep climbing. Encourage us, strengthen us to do it and to move forward that next step toward you, toward your outstretched arms, like that prodigal son, like Ruth Graham, like me in the past, always there for us, waiting and waiting for us to come see into those outstretched arms so you can wrap us up and say, "Welcome home, Scott. Welcome home." Thank you, Lord. Thank you for always being there to help me and us become all that you created us to be, and then to use us with you to help others become all that you created them to be. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for loving us, and especially thanks for the reminder of how much you love us when you sent your Son into the world for us. Give us everlasting life, not to condemn us, but to save us. And it's in His precious, precious name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.